You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is StoryCorps. Ken Hopper and Carrie Davis have been a team for 25 years working on the Golden Gate Bridge, and their work takes them up and down the iconic structure to do a lot more than just make repairs.
We're ironworkers on the Golden Gate Bridge. We climb in places where nobody else really goes.
It's awesome. We get paid to climb around in the world's biggest jungle gym.
To the very top is 746 feet.
You're walking on this 3 foot in diameter
cylinder.
Looks like a pipe.
Yeah.
And you hang on to this cable, and the steeper it gets, the tighter you hang on.
And the harder it is to climb.
Yeah, you know, we have to wear a full body harness, and we are tied off at all times.
We just look out for one another. If something's happening and it's going wrong, we have each other's back. We do all the stuff that nobody else wants to do. One of the hardest things I'd say that we have to deal with, I guess we'll talk about it at some point, people will come out to end their lives. For a time, if there was somebody over the rail.
A person is thinking about killing themselves.
We were the first call, and we'd have to set up with our harnesses and go out. Sometimes we talk, sometimes we just try to get ourselves close to that person to actually grab them.
I've gotten to the point where I walk up to him and I just flat out and say, you thinking about jumping off this bridge today? And I've had him truly answer, yeah.
They might be in tears or they might not be focused on anything else but the water. To see a person that's that low, that's really hard to see.
Yeah.
I remember one guy, he had brought his kid out and threw the kid over. That was sad. And then he jumped after the fact, but, I mean, why didn't he just let the little girl go? I stepped into the van and I cried.
I saw that happen. It was awful. I would have taken her.
Yeah.
You know, as I saw
her. All of us would have. Yeah, you saw her.
And that really broke me up.
Yeah. But the majority of the time, we've been pretty successful. I'd say we've got 90% of the people that we've gone out after. I remember one time a guy was talking to me, and he was a bartender in San Francisco, and he couldn't find a job. And I asked him if I can climb over and talk to him, and he's one of the guys that said, thank you.
There's really hardly ever any closure. Many times we're worried about, well, what happened to this guy? They took him to the hospital. Is he okay? And there's a lot of unanswered questions. But, you know, some called us the guardians of the gate or the angels of the gate. And that was nice to hear.
Those were Ken Hopper and Carrie Davis. And that was a story from StoryCorps. StoryCorps founder Dave Isay is joining us live today on a special pledge edition of Cross Currents. So, Dave, let's hear another one. In this one, we'll hear from Diane Tells His Name. She's Lakota Indian, but growing up, she never knew that she was Native American. Diane was adopted as a baby, and in the StoryCorps booth, her daughter Bonnie Buchanan asked about Diane's childhood.
When did you first feel like you were different?
Probably elementary school. I had a younger sister, and I really didn't like doing the same things that she would do. She would do tea parties and play with dolls and things like that, and I was always outside looking at the clouds or the stars. And my sister was blonde, tall and thin like my mother, and I was round and brown. I remember going through the family albums looking for my face in the old photographs, and I didn't see me. And eventually, when I was 37 years old, I happened to see a picture of my mom in October of 1951, and it shocked me because I was born in November of 1951, and my mother was not pregnant. So that's when I knew that I was adopted.
How did you feel?
It was very satisfying to know that I wasn't crazy. I didn't blame them. I wasn't angry with them. In 1951, you just didn't talk about those things. So when I got my original birth certificate, it said on there my birth mother's name, and it said that she was born at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. So I went to South Dakota to receive my Indian name and get a crash course in how to be an Indian. After that, my husband and I told Indian Family Services we wanted to adopt a child from my tribe, a Lakota child. And finally, they faxed us a picture of a little Indian child, and she was drinking chocolate syrup out of a Hershey's bottle. And our son said, "That's her. That's the one we need to adopt." And it was you. I started doing research on your family. And when I started looking at your family tree, I saw one of my relatives on your paper. So we are cousins. I thought that was just, that was amazing.
I'm glad you're my baby.
I know. I'm glad you adopted me.
I am too.
It's like our whole family was just planned out so that it would be best for all of us.
Those were Bonnie Buchanan and her mother, Diane Tells His Name. That conversation was from San Francisco's StoryCorps, where loved ones interview one another. Our last one is about 10-year-old Ida Cortez. She's dyslexic, so she's had some trouble learning to read and spell. Recently, she sat down with her mother, Kim, to talk about it.
What are some things that you wish people knew about dyslexia?
I wish people knew that it's not like an illness of the brain, it's a difference of the brain. I mean, every brain is a little bit different. Maybe ours are just a little bit more.
Do you remember when you were trying to learn how to read?
Yeah, I hated every second of it, actually. But someone, and she's sitting right in front of me, inspired me and helped me do it. When you were helping me read, did you ever for a moment think that I wouldn't be able to?
I never believed that you wouldn't learn how to read. But, you know, I got frustrated at first. I was like, there's the word. You just said it. Why can't you read it again? And I didn't understand what was going on because I knew you were so smart. And then when we talked to your teachers and they helped us see what was going on, then I knew how to help you. But what I did worry about was whether you would ever love to read, because I love to read and Dad loves to read and we wanted you to have that.
Yeah, I do love reading and now I'm probably one of the biggest readers in my class. It's changed a lot.
Does that factor in when you think about what you want to do with your life?
Yeah, I want to be a humanities teacher and I want to help people who are dyslexic do like spelling and reading and stuff because those were the things that were really hard for me.
Yeah. Well, what do you think that you've learned about yourself that you might not have learned if you weren't dyslexic?
That I can work hard. I can have to do something and do it. It's not easy. It's not easy for anyone, but I can do it.